Many of you are aware of a routinely meeting that I attend on every Tuesday at 10:45 a.m. with the other Lutheran pastors called Text Study. And this gathering of pastors in the Missoula area has been done for many, many years, decades, and provides space not only to dig into the coming scripture texts and talk about sermon ideas for the coming Sunday, but also to connect on a deeper level with my fellow colleagues, many of whom are very close friends. And as you might expect in this gathering of text study and pastors, the mood fluctuates every week, and it's continually amazing to me how open our group is with the challenges and the joys of ministry. Well, this past week, I really felt the shared mood in this group of pastors being uncertain, a little anxious, perhaps. And there are many reasons for this. Budget uncertainty for many congregations, changing of ministries uncertainty, uncertainty about the smoke and environment, family uncertainty, political uncertainty, etc., etc. It was evident on most of the pastors' faces, and I'll include myself as well, that chaos and uncertainty is tiring. Maybe you can relate a little bit to this as well. Maybe your job is not as certain as you would like, or your health is up and down. Maybe you have family members who have unpredictable behavior, which can be damaging, or barrage of natural disaster news is just kind of getting to you. Chaos and uncertainty are tiring. And it was, as a matter of fact, for ancient Israel as well. It's funny how we think of the challenges of the ancient world as separated from our own, but sometimes I wonder. Sure, there wasn't the medical drugs and technology back then like we have today. People died all the time from ailments like dysentery, polio, skin diseases, and pneumonia. But today we have superbugs, cancer, Alzheimer's, and other types of sickness that are just as scary. Sure, the ancient Israelites did not have modern diplomatic relationships like we do today with other countries and were incredibly vulnerable to any king who just wanted more and would expand the empire, whatever the human life count was. But today we have nuclear bombs, the internet, which can affect elections, and more sophisticated special force units that can do quite a bit of damage without really being traced. Sure, the ancient Israelites had frequent challenges with the natural world that we don't, storms that would sink entire fleets of boats, droughts that would leave entire kingdoms without any food and water, earthquakes that would consume entire cities. Yet 2017 is on course for being the hottest year on record, possibly beating the current record, 2016. The city of Houston was doused with 51.88 inches, close to 4.5 feet of rain. The most single total for a storm ever recorded in U.S. history. The city of Boston's sky last week had a tinge of red in it from smoke coming from our own Missoula fires. Fires that continue to get hotter, bigger, and smokier every single year. Sometimes I wonder whether we really are that separated from the challenges and chaos of ancient Israel. Which is why I think this Exodus story stuck out to many of us at our weekly text study. And like many well-told stories which stand the test of time, this Exodus story uses many symbols which I think are helpful and important for us to see today. One symbol that is very important throughout the entire Old Testament, you see again and again and again, is the symbol of the sea. The sea. The sea, in most stories in the Old Testament, represents chaos. Something that you don't want to mess with. The sea was home to great sea creatures that could tip or even swallow your entire boat, create storms that wash you away, or usher in winds that could batter you and erode entire rock features. The sea was the unknown. And here, Moses and the Israelites were face to face with it. Face to face with chaos. Yet another fearful thing was right behind them, right? Pharaoh and his army. Thus Moses and Israel were faced with a choice. Move forward into the chaotic unknown or go back to slavery. And you know, it's amazing how much I can relate to the Israelites' kind of twisted logic here. They say, let us alone and let us serve the Egyptians, for it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness. This is actually not very true, because we know Pharaoh was murdering Israelites and subjecting them to torturous working conditions. But here's the thing. It's what they knew. It's what they knew. Isn't it crazy how even if our situation is bad and or dangerous, we still are really tempted to go back because it is what we know? I took a training in seminary on sexual abuse and dangerous relationships, and the trainer who was teaching this training always talked about the magic number 7. It takes statistically 7 times for a person to leave an abusive relationship. They keep talking about it for six times, and on the 7th time, statistically, they finally are able to work up to leave. Why? Because staring chaos and unknown in the face is much scarier than going back to something that, even though if it's unhealthy or even dangerous, it is a known quantity. Feels like in many ways our world and our church are staring at that sea right now, doesn't it? Like the Israelites, I sometimes would much rather go back to the known versus walk into the unknown. Yet we can't go back. The Israelites, I think, in their heart of hearts knew this as well. Going back means death. So a couple of thoughts. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. To me, this is where the strength of stepping forward starts. You have all of this chaos in front and in back of you, and then God says to Moses, stretch out your hand. Even in the text itself, it seems to me as a counterweight to this highly charged language of anxiety of the Israelites. And so the question for us, when do we need to stretch out our hands? When do we sometimes need to stretch out and reach for God? But Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand firm and see the deliverance that the Lord will accomplish for you today. So the Israelites walked on dry ground and through the sea, the waters forming a wall for them on their right and on their left. A really wise colleague of mine who came to text study this past week, and many, if not all of you know, Pastor Joe Wallin, he said something to me that really caught me. He said in that deep, low Joe voice, "You know my frustration with this story? It's that the Israelites never seem to get to the other side of the chaos. Sure, they may get to the other side of the sea, but then they encounter starvation, infighting, foreign enemies, and all other sorts of chaos." And so Joe continued to share. He said, "That seems to be my problem, is that you think it's all going to be over with, and you have to continue again and again and again. You never stop facing chaos. But in our walk with Christ, you get glimpses. Joe calls them tastes. Tastes of the peace, of the hope, of what the Christian tradition refers to as the kingdom of God that's coming. The problems and the chaos of our world will continue, but as Moses says, do not be afraid. Stand firm and see the deliverance that the Lord will accomplish for you today." And Jesus continues this in our gospel lesson today when he talks about acts of forgiveness. 7 times 77. Forgiveness, acts of service towards one another, is that taste of that kingdom of God. It's why we talk about in the children's sermon and in Sunday school, the gathering and the sending. We gather to be inspired, to be anchored, to taste that kingdom of God. And then we are sent out to be that taste of Christ for the world. So maybe our job is not to fully arrive, as we keep saying in our culture, but to keep on stretching out our hands in order to get tastes. Tastes that keep us going. Tastes that keep us anchored in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And the sea was no more. I wonder where the writer of Revelation got that. That's what keeps us going. God's promises hold fast, even with face to face with chaos. We will get there. I promise. God promises. I can taste it. Can you? Amen.